Welcome to another edition of the Fallscast, brought to you by the Falls Free Press in beautiful Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, where today, Tuesday, September 22nd, the first day of fall, it is a beautiful 69 degrees. We are here with some of our favorite Fallscasters, including Bart Sullivan.
Hello.
Suzanne Searle.
Hello.
I think I know you. Kathy McMenemy.
Hello.
And the all-powerful, almighty Stephen Mulay.
Hello, Cuyahoga Falls.
You got the descriptive one. Unfortunately, Alex is not going to be here today, so we get to make fun of him. And yet again, it is trying to like herd cats again. So this should be interesting.
Well, it's okay. Alex's feet smell, so you know.
Well, that's true. He smells like cheese. And yes, I still hate him. All right, so after our roundtable discussion, we will have Alex's interview with Tim Frankish of the upcoming Falls business, The Works, which will be a kind of arcade-slash-family fun center complete with virtual reality, duckpin bowling, live music, and more, located in the old Falls Theater space on Front Street downtown.
So this week, the Cuyahoga Falls School Board expressed its opinions to our current superintendent, Todd Nichols, that the school should return to an in-person hybrid format, given basically what the COVID data is now and based on the opinion of Summit County Public Health. We are currently under the yellow threat level based on the Ohio's Public Health Authority system, the lowest of all four. Yet, Summit County Public Health has suggested that our district not rely on the state advisory system and wants kids back in school. Dr. Nichols said that the district is prepared to deal with any cases that come up, and he's made a decision by the end of the week as to whether students should be sent back into the school buildings in the hybrid format they had talked about at the beginning of the school year. So the student population would be divided in half, 2 days for half, 2 days for the other, to allow for social distancing. Meanwhile, Woodridge has seen no cases since the beginning of school this year in their hybrid format, but it still maintains a COVID dashboard to keep parents up to date on what's going on. So, honestly, in my opinion, things have been going good so far. Why spoil it? But I completely understand. I don't have any kids in the system, so I can't really say very much about that.
I don't think any one of us have kids in the school system anymore. I think all of our kids have kind of graduated. But I know that Nichols did say that with the hybrid model that it will allow for 6 feet apart. And so I think that he seems to think that that will be helpful. If the kids wear masks and keep them 6 feet apart, they should be all right to going back to the hybrid model. We'll see. I know that Twinsburg High School just had 3 students tested positive, but because of the social distance that they had in place and wearing masks, that they were not going to need to quarantine any of the kids or the staff. So I don't know. I was kind of curious. I read that it said that if a child has a fever or stuffy nose, that they will be sent home for 10 days.
For a basic fever?
That's what it said. Yeah. That if they had a fever or a stuffy nose, that they would be sent home for 10 days. I mean, how many parents are going to want their kids to even go into the nurses if something like that happens? Yeah. You have a little bit of a cold or, you know, sinus is going on and they're feeling a little stuffy or allergies. I mean, I don't know. That seems a little bit, you know, kind of extreme.
I'm curious what you guys think about how many parents send their kids to school with a fever and just give them Tylenol and say, here, you'll be okay.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially with parents having to stay home with their kids and they have to go to work, they're going to not want to have the kids stay at home. And I can't blame them, but be interesting to see what will happen with that.
Do any of us know what the limit is on their definition of a fever? Is it 99.4 or are they looking over 100 or?
I could not find that out. I'm not sure what they consider a fever.
Because at our place of work, or my place of work, I should say, ours is defined at 99.4, which really isn't that far above what's quote unquote normal, you know, but I'm kind of curious what the school's fever limit is.
Well, I know that you also, if you get like a high, like a 99.4, they have you go sit down for a little while and then take it again. I wonder if they'll have that kind of protocol as well, because I mean, I can run a 99.4 with just my allergies, or sure, if I've been outside when it's too warm or pucking mm-hmm. around. So, I mean, it's not hard to have a 99.4 and not have really anything wrong with you. So,
yeah,
sure.
It's going to be a question for Nichols. Absolutely.
Yeah. Sure, yeah, they're going to have to figure all that out.
I'm sure they've already figured it out. I mean, they just didn't do a press release with that yet. I'm sure they have to have figured that out, because that's a limit they have to. Okay, you're below this number, you're fine, and above this number, you're not fine.
Right. It has to
be some arbitrary number that they figured out.
I just spoke to the nurse on staff at one of the elementary schools, and she said it's 100 degrees.
Okay. Yeah,
100, okay.
All right.
That sounds reasonable.
Yeah, that does sound reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah, but 10 days, I get why. I mean, they're just mm-hmm. being cautious, but
yeah,
it's a long time.
It is a long time, especially after they've been home for, you know, how long is it going to be? A month, month and a half now, 2 months? I'm not sure when they're deciding. Was it September 28th? I think they're making the decision.
September 28th, yeah. Or they'll be able to return on September 28th.
Yeah. And that's only a week away.
Oh, gosh, that's crazy.
Wow.
Well, hopefully they're going to be looking at the other schools that have been doing this and taking advice from them on how they're making it, you know, successful, or learn from mistakes that they're making. So I know that they're going to have a data dashboard table that's going to be on the school website too, that parents can check to see if there's any positive tests. Hmm. Does anybody know anything about that? Or
heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
I am totally out of loop on the whole school thing, because I just typically don't pay attention to it, since my kids are no longer in the Cuyahoga Falls school system. So,
you know, wash the hands of it and just let it go.
Yeah. I had 14, 15 years of that stuff, so I'm good.
Mm. I've done my time. I served my time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Countless football games and band stuff and choir and yep.
Now we have to worry about what the college is doing. Kent State. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but college is a little easier, I think. I mean, I think some of the issues, more than the kids getting infected from other students or staff or whatnot at the schools, it's the extracurricular activities that they're doing, you know, the parties, the, you know, get-togethers, whatever, outside of school, that's more of a hindrance right now than actually being in school. I think all the precautions and whatnot are being taken at the school as far as cleansing and distancing and whatnot, but you can't really control the students when they're outside of the school, you know, so you can
only do so much. Because I know that they said that in the article that Nichols said that the positive tests have been more from parties or outside of school activities, because they can kind of control what is happening in the school. So you can distance, you can make them wear masks, you can sanitize, but once the kids leave the building, you know, who knows what mm-hmm. is happening. And that's happening in the colleges too, right? I mean, mm-hmm. the school, you know, the colleges are taking all these precautions, but these kids are going out there and having parties or going out in town and not social distancing. And that's where they're picking up the virus and kind of bringing it back. So
mm-hmm. kids will be kids.
Adults are going to be adults too, right?
Exactly.
I mean,
when I was that age, I'd probably find an excuse to party too. And that would be
probably. Oh, yeah.
No. Right. Not you, Steven.
Never, never. I was such a.
No. Straight laced.
Kent State has asked students to avoid gatherings and parties for 2 weeks.
Of all sizes?
I would say, what's the limit?
Probably whatever the state says it's limited mandated. Probably 10 people are under.
Yes, is it still 10?
Well, if they're putting out a statement, my assumption, and you know what they say about assuming, but
yes,
would
I'm
be
an ass.
A part would be a, you know, party of none. I mean, if the state mandates 10 or less, and if they're putting out a statement, I'm assuming that means that they shouldn't be having a party with anybody.
But it's my fraternity brother. Yeah. It's my brother.
But you can have a party with yourself. You know what that's called?
Whoa. We're not going down that road, Steven.
What is it called? I think the viewers or the listeners would like to know.
Sure. The Mayor's Honoré Boulevard has been rededicated for a philanthropic couple, Madeline and Libert Bazzelli, who are in their 90s. Mrs. Bazzelli is known for an impressive fundraiser, and she apparently raised over $200 million in various charities and nonprofits, and she has served on 28 boards.
Wow.
She also created an event to recognize young women through Western Reserve Hospital and even has a scholarship in her name at the University of Akron. Mr. Bazzelli served in World War II, was a Falls City Council member from 1968 to 1986, and a Summit County Council member from 86 to 1990. He has also been a sheet metal union official for 70 years, and he also founded the Suicide Prevention Organization and served as its president. He was the president of the Mental Health Board, the Cuyahoga Falls Hospital Board, and Kent State Fashion School, and more. A bocce court at Cork Cultural Center is also going to be named in their honor. I can't believe that he was a union official for 70 years.
That's a long time.
And just, she was on 28 boards, and that's a lot of community involvement.
it's quite impressive. Absolutely. All of it. Yeah. I read that too, and that's, amazing.
Congrats. Very impressive, Well-deserved.
Those are lives well-lived.
Yes.
You know, they also celebrated their 74th wedding anniversary. That's so
fourth. Wow.
Yeah.
I know. I'm hitting, we're doing 25 in October, and I'm like, man, 25.
Ooh, congratulations.
Now we have to figure out something to do. COVID, we're supposed to go away. Guess what? We're not going away now because of COVID. Yeah. Thanks, COVID.
Mm.
Yeah.
Squirrel away a little money for the.
Well, We might find a place to go camping. You know what I mean? Just us two. And then, lame. Oh, yeah. But hey, it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
Well,
you got to do something. That's an achievement. 25 years. So do you think that their long life can be contributed to their love of community involvement? Maybe that's a little testimony for the rest of us, too.
Purpose. They had purpose and they had focus, and then that makes you live longer. It really does. I mean, when you retire, some people, when they retire, work all their lives, they retire, and then they lose purpose and focus. Mm-hmm. And then, they don't, when you do that, you don't, sometimes when you get to be that age, it makes your health go down quick.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it helps with your mental and your physical to be able to be involved. 200 million. That's impressive.
That's a lot. For all charities and nonprofits, that is a lot. I'm still floored that she was on 28 boards. Mm-hmm. And, that is just crazy.
Yep.
And Mr. Bazzelli being on, city council and, Summit County Council, that's overall from, 68 to 90, that's a good amount of time, too,
That is. So I think that means if we want to live long, we have to get involved in the city.
Well, we kind of are already.
We are, yeah, we are. Maybe that means we'll live forever. They were 74 years married, so are you ready to be married to me for 74 years?
You will smother me in my sleep with a pillow if we make 10. If you can put up with me that long.
The first 10 years are harder than the next 10 years and the next 10 years, if you figure it out. You figure out the first 10 years, the rest of it are easier, I think.
Good. I like that. I think we figured it out, right?
Yes, dear. I love you, dear.
See, there you go. And Mike figured it out for sure.
He's very happy, aren't you?
Yes, I'm very happy.
Yes, exactly. I'm ecstatic. The world is amazing.
What can I get for you, dear? I love you, dear. You're beautiful today. What?
Do you need a foot rub? How was your day?
Sure.
From there, we go on to concluding something we talked about last week. Almost as soon as we recorded our episode last week, talking about the Back the Blue rally over at the Cuyahoga Falls Harley-Davidson dealership, it was canceled. Probably before the episode even came out.
Really?
Yeah. The organizer and host said the cancellation was due to COVID, because at that point, the county had gone from level 2 to level 3. But since then, it has dropped to level one. The Facebook page of the group running it said the event was canceled because of pressure from the Summit County Public Health and the city. But the dealership said this isn't the case and made the point to say that no conversations were made with the city or Summit County Public Health. And that they were only providing the space for the event and not organizing it. Which, in that case, that is true. Both the city and the health authority worked together and corroborated on the fact that they had not made any contact with the dealership. Except they did contact the police to ensure safety measures. So, you know, we talked about it a bit last week, but do we think it was canceled because of pressure, or they were smart not to have a large get together in such a small space?
I don't want to say it was pressure. It might have just, maybe they just kind of looked at it. It'd be a better idea just not to do it at this point in time. You know, I don't think an organization like that or this gentleman would necessarily cave to pressure from an outside thing, but
I think the dealership probably had second thoughts on all of
that
because they didn't want to be involved with it. You know, that's my gut feeling. And I think that the organizer maybe is trying to find other scapegoats to blame it on. I have absolutely zero evidence. That's just my intradition and just my thoughts on it. But you know how that is. Exactly. You know, everyone's got an opinion, just like buttholes.
Mm-hmm. And some stink more than others.
Exactly. So, you know, who knows? I mean, who really knows what happened? I mean, I know the organizer is claiming that it was pressure from the city and from the Summit County, and he's blaming people, and then the dealership saying, nope. We're just, you know, they're trying to wash their hands of it. And
yeah, I say they're washing their hands of it. And it's hard to say who did what. It's a bad time to be trying to organize anything like that. Correct. You know,
it is. It's tough. I can't say that I'm disappointed.
Well, I'm just curious. It's like, how many counter protesters we have had? And, you know, and that's kind of a, you know, the construction is still not fully complete there, you know, and it would just been a cluster. Yeah. It would have been even more of a mess.
Yep.
You know, which that could have been also a consideration too. Maybe they didn't want to be blamed for whatever blockages could have been there, you know, because of traffic.
Yeah. I guess it was going to be like a festival. There was going to be food trucks on the whole nine yards. That's what I read.
Food trucks.
Yeah. Food trucks. And there's going to be like, I don't know, probably, I wouldn't doubt if there's going to be a band. It's like, sounds like a party to me. It doesn't sound like a rally, whatever.
Yeah. It's one man's definition of a rally is no.
Another man's party.
Mm-hmm.
And then, anyway, calling it a rally, too, that might be just an excuse to have a party.
True.
There's a lot of people in this world that any excuse to have a party is a good excuse. And I used to belong to that crowd. Maybe not.
I say it's not necessarily a bad thing, but
to me, it's about the crowd that you're with. Have a party, and it's a good crowd and good people, then, you know, it could be a good time.
What kind of pressure do you think that they were talking about?
I don't know. I think it sounds like a bunch of smoke and mirrors bullshit to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just blaming someone else for whatever happened. Whether there's any you know, actual evidence to back that up, who knows?
No, I mean, it's like, what kind of community backlash are they worried about? I mean, it's not going to hurt their sales. You know, there's an image of Harley riders that they, you know, F the system, whatever, you know, and that would be a positive spin for them. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know what kind of backlash they'd be concerned about, or they would just be worried about possible spreading of COVID and people are going to blame it on the rally, you know, and then who's to say that Summit County Health might not come in and try to shut the place down for a little bit, you know?
I don't think they would do that, but who knows?
Who knows? I mean, they could slide them.
I mean, when it was canceled, what the threat level was 3 or something, was it? And then it was lowered down to 1?
Yeah.
After they canceled it?
It's kind of weird, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think one had anything to do with the other, but it just happened to be coincidence. Maybe it was canceled because it was 3, but now that it's 1, and obviously it's canceled now, so they can't put it back on.
No.
Maybe that's part of it. Who knows?
Or they could just say they're looking for another venue or another space until, you know.
Mm-hmm. To have your your cop rally. Back the blue rally.
Back the blue,
back
Stephen.
The back the blue.
Back the blue rally. Which
we like the police.
Yes, you know, I don't have any problem with any of that.
No,
you can, like I said before, you can like both. You can like mm-hmm. the and the and back the blue. You can back both. So,
it's the understanding of both sides.
Correct. All right. What's the next subject?
Arts with Bart.
Yes.
Bart's arts.
We don't have a whole lot of art news this week, other than one. This Friday is Upfront Art Space's new location opening with the show Ooh. That we discussed last week, Windows. That will be happening Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then next door at Marketing Juice, they are also hosting an art show. They will have a pop-up art show Friday through Sunday with art from local artists to Cauga Falls and all the way out to Cleveland. The artists are Kate Atherton, Miranda and Perry, Brittany Luciani, Arabella Schneider, and Teresa DeMio. And you can find all that information about all the artists on their Facebook page. I'm not going to go into the biographies of every artist because there's a lot.
Come on, Bart. We need filler. Give us the whole bio.
They have What's said the, name the of show is appropriate for all ages and all the art will be available to purchase.
It should be a fun weekend.
What's the name of the business and where is it located?
It's the Marketing Juice on Portage Trail.
Okay.
This is the marketing agency that just moved in there.
Oh, yeah, okay. Where Black Metal Strength Training was. Down there next to Flurry's.
Okay. All right, sure.
Yeah. It seems a weird space to have an art show, but I guess, you know, it is a pop-up, you know. It can happen anywhere.
I was in there when it was Black Metal Strength Training, and it seemed like it could be a good location for an art show. They have lots of wall space.
But who knows if this will be one of many.
Sure. Cool. I mean, yeah, interesting.
Could they use the parking lot or the side, that little driveway, even though there's construction going on?
Well, I mean, you can just park on the parking deck and walk over. It's not very far.
Yeah.
Yeah. And being the weekend, you could always, if there's space on Front Street,
exactly.
park there and walk up.
Yeah.
Or sashay on down from the parking
lot. Sashay.
Oh, fancy.
Work. Wrapping it up, we want to thank our listeners for joining us this week. Do you have an idea for someone you think we should interview? If so, drop us a line at fallsfreepress@gmail.com. Also, remember that we are always in the market for article submissions, so you can send those also to fallsfreepress@gmail.com. For now, we'll say goodbye, and we hope that you'll join us next week when we will have Barrett Moy of Underhills Games to talk to and more. So we will see you then.
Bye.
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 Later.
Okay, we're back on the Fallscast, and we are joined today by Timothy Frankish, one of the partners at one of the most anticipated new businesses in downtown Cuyahoga Falls, The Works. Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me. I appreciate giving me the time today.
Absolutely. I know that we're all really excited about The Works. You guys have been out in the community quite a bit, even last summer, really making sure that the branding is going places in the community, in spite of the fact that you guys aren't even open yet. I'm sure that there have been some setbacks given the coronavirus pandemic, but obviously you guys had a pretty uphill battle with such an old building that had been really in disuse for a long time. I want to talk about all aspects of the business and your experiences just getting everything up and running. But can you give us a little bit of background about the partners and the idea for the business before we jump into the other kinds of things?
Sure, absolutely. So myself and I have three partners that are involved in the project, and this is actually our fourth year working on our concept. And we originally were a much smaller scale. Then we grew a little bit bigger, and then as we looked at buildings and properties and what's available, what's out there, and we really started researching the attractions that we wanted to have, It really was finding a home that the attractions that we wanted to offer, would they fit into an existing space and, you know, kind of all that. So it took a number of years to really research, because we did travel to other facilities. We met with suppliers, arcade vendors. I played a lot of arcade games over the last couple of years, which was a plus for me.
Not bad to get paid for that, huh?
Yeah, yeah. We've tested a lot of food, a lot of drinks. We've gone as far out as Denver. We went out and met with the great folks from Brunswick and looked at their bowling products, and we wanted to make sure that we were buying the right stuff that represents us and the look that we were going for. And not all products would fit, you know, in all spaces. It's not like we've got a big box store like a Best Buy and you just drop stuff in as you see fit. You know, it's not just that easy. So that was one of the major problems or challenges that we faced with the theater itself, was figuring out like a layout that made sense inside the four walls that were there and have been existing for many, many years now. But so my partners, I, like I said, we're four and a half years into this, and we're all family. I do have my brother-in-law, my two sister-in-laws, Kim Green, Melissa Barnes, and Chris Carpenter, that are on the project with me. And, you know, it's been an endeavor, and I'm very thankful that I have other people with me along on this project, because the amount of time and energy that it takes to put in to something like this is, I mean, it was way more than I can ever imagine. Just the meetings, the emails, the phone calls, all the details that go into planning, you know, picking paint colors. I mean, it's a lot. It's very time consuming. So I'm glad that I've got three people with me that I can trust and that share the same passion and the same vision for what we want to create down there. Cause it's definitely not an easy thing to do. So, yeah, so that's kind of about us. We're family, we're crazy. We've got a vision, and we're excited about what we're opening up down there really, really soon.
So let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, first of all, you know, I think that the people in the community are actually really excited that you guys are here and that you're doing this, particularly because, you know, we've kind of had a couple of false starts as relates to that particular space. I mean, at one point it was going to be a microbrewery. At another time it was going to be just a kind of a big event space. And it seemed like a lot of the investors who went into the Falls Theater didn't last long, because it is such an enormous undertaking.
Oh, yeah.
During the hard hat tours, you know, we saw piles and piles of old chairs. I mean, we're talking about a building that was built, I think, in 1925, 1926. And then you had to, because of the historic building you know, status that the structure got, you guys had to do certain things certain ways in order to be in line with what you were granted, right? So so all that stuff I think is important. You know, you guys call yourselves the Works. Your tagline is "Play at the Works." It's kind of described as an arcade, maybe kind of an adult arcade. I tend to think about it like almost like a Dave and Buster's or something.
Yeah.
But you say you've been working on the concept for 4 years. I'd love to just kind of hear, you know, the quick, you know, one line sales pitch, and then maybe a broader explanation about what it is you guys actually do want to do.
So we're actually classified as a family entertainment center in the industry. That's what the FEC, that's what the letters stand for with the type of business that it is. So family entertainment center, basically it's activities and entertainment for whether you're 5 or 95. That's the true classification for what we are. It's very similar to a Dave and Buster's or, you know, a Main Event, things of that nature. But our location was able to provide a different atmosphere and a unique look. So we're kind of a little bit different in the sense that, like I kind of said earlier, like it's not just a Best Buy, like a box store. There's working with historical people and putting some of the historical aspects back into the theater. It's just going to have character and a different feel to it. Not that there's anything wrong with going to a Best Buy or, you know, places like that. That's just their look. That's what they go for. But we've got a lot more character in the building. So we had to pay extra attention to all the elements that we were putting in there and making sure that they represented the theater, the time period, all that. And you're right. The theater was built in the early 20s and thankfully has stood the test of time as far as the building goes. But yeah, so we basically are going to have in the building a full restaurant and bar. We have duck pin bowling lanes. We have an arcade floor. We have a 4-person virtual reality gaming center that's really immersive. I was really impressed by it when I first tried it. And we've got a speakeasy going in. We're keeping the projection balcony for party space. We've got our social hall, which will have some, you know, table shuffleboard, just some social games in there, pinball, things of that nature. And then we've got some party rooms available as well for private parties, events, birthdays, things of that nature. So family entertainment center is the classification, is the right way to put it.
Cool. And are you guys planning on showing films?
Well, we don't plan to anticipate putting any type of like movies up per se. We are keeping the stage for live entertainment, bands, comics, pianists, things of that nature. But in terms of actually showing films, we don't plan on actually being a movie house, because it's a whole different ball game when you've got food and beverage and you're showing movies, because they take a certain percentage of that point. So unfortunately, no movies.
Got it. Okay. Awesome. Well, that's really helpful, because I think that I think most people in the community kind of know what's there, but it's also cool because you guys keep seeing a lot of trucks and things in front of here, in front of the business, that are kind of telling us like what's coming. Like the Brunswick order was there, and I had everybody coming up to me and saying, "Well, what's duckpin bowling?" And I was kind of explaining, "Well, have you ever seen candlestick bowling?" That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe we can just tell people briefly what duckpin bowling is.
Sure. Yeah. So duckpin bowling was actually one of the first ways bowling was actually around. Instead of pin setters back in the early days, they actually had a pin boy, a young adult that would sit there and he would restack the pins by hand. And we're not going to that extent to bring it back. But yeah, so the bowling pins are, it's the same configuration, same lane, same everything, except the pins are basically shrunken down. If you were to take a bowling pin and push it down, they're much shorter, a little bit fatter. And the ball, instead of a regular bowling ball size, it's almost the size of a shot put or a grapefruit, from what I tell people. So literally anybody of all ages can pick up the ball and throw it down the lanes. And, the building is, although it's big inside, a standard bowling lane being 100 to 110 foot, we just didn't have the space for that. So we've actually taken those down and dropped them down to 32 foot long bowling lanes. So we'll have the ability to really bring people of all ages up so that they can try out the duckpin bowling. But pretty much the same game. And you also have three attempts instead of just two, like traditional bowling.
Oh, that's cool. And how many lanes are you guys going to have?
We're going to have four lanes in there. With some seating, lounge seating, stuff like that. There's screens over the lanes that tell you your score and all that kind of stuff. So it's very similar, but yeah, four lanes. That's pretty much really the only change is just really the pins, the balls, and the length of the wood itself, the lane.
Awesome. So can you talk a little bit about the ways in which you guys have had to restore the building? According to sort of the guidelines that are associated with the historical building status?
Yeah, we've actually been very fortunate enough to do and restore quite a bit, more than what we thought. Everything down to the projectors that were, mounted in the balcony. So we're actually starting with the front of the building. We're actually going to be restoring the marquee. In fact, in a few weeks, people are going to start to see some exterior work happening out on the marquee. We're going to be restoring from pictures, what it was historically, our logo in the front, have the twinkly little light bulbs on it, just to give it that theater feel and look, because that's the first impression when you walk in front of the building. We wanted to make sure that, people, when they think of the Falls Theater and they see it after we open, that they go, okay, it's definitely still has that theater feel. We've also restored the medallions that are up in the ceiling. So we have these, lighting medallions that have stained glass in them that are backlit, that have all been hand painted and restored by a company down in Southern Ohio. And the medallions with all the light bulbs that run down the middle of the ceiling. It's kind of hard to describe when we open and everybody walks in, they're going to look up and they're going to go, wow, that's what they were talking about. We've got, I don't know how many light bulbs, if I had to guess, between 100 and 200 light bulbs that run down in this design in the middle of the ceiling. and it runs the whole length from one side of the theater to the other. That's actually been hand restored, and if anybody follows us on Instagram or Facebook, they can see some of the restoration pictures that they've done by hand. Recasted the mold, poured the plaster, put it back up, filled in the gaps all the way around the crown molding of the theater space as well, has all been recasted, put back up, hand painted, and it truly does look amazing. Words honestly just don't describe it, but those are two of the biggest restoration things that we've done. Was probably going to be the marquee, and then all the design elements that are in the ceiling. There are other things that we're doing, you know, around the stage. There's some scallop design. Those are going to be kept as well. They're going to be hand painted, stenciled, and then, you know, all repainted and touched up to give it a more fresh and lively look. But those are historic to the building, the paint colors, the scheme, the stencil, the overall look. That's all true to what it was originally. So there's quite a bit of design stuff in there, even down to the projectors that we plan on having on display for people to look, because they're not just, you know, you picture a projector today, it's the size of a shoebox. The projectors that were in the building, they're taller than I am. You know, I'm almost 6 foot, so they're massive, you know, contraptions that we were like, these can't go into a dumpster. People got to see that, you know, these are a part of the building and they're still going to be here. They're really cool looking. So we're doing some fun renovations on things that we think people will appreciate. We're actually hoping to use the original hardwood on the dining room floor. We'll have carpet in the arcade and around the bowling lanes, but we haven't gotten that far yet, but we have all the hardwood saved that was originally installed when the building was built. And unfortunately, over time, and the material, the nails that they use to hold it down, we're hoping to pull all those out, and hoping that there's enough wood that we run it through a planer to sand it down, that we can relay it, restain it, and have the original hardwood floor in the dining room. So that's our next big mystery, is if we're able to do that. But our plan is to restore the hardwoods and lay them back down so that they would be the original floors that were in there. So we've got a lot going on, even down to the windows that you can actually drive by down Front Street. When you look at the windows upstairs, those are the original windows that were in the theater when it was built. They've obviously been updated, but the materials, the window sashes, that's all been filled, made sure that's safe and up to date, but restored, not just replaced, which is a big thing to that building.
Wow, that's just really incredible. I mean, there's obviously so much history there. I mean, when the theater was built, I believe alcohol was at that time prohibited, and it wasn't until maybe 10 years later that the 21st Amendment made, you know, like basically rendered the 18th Amendment moot. And allowed people to drink alcohol again legally.
Right.
But as we know, there was like quite a big business of people selling and consuming alcohol during the time of Prohibition. And I'm sure the Falls Theater was maybe one of the places where you could do that. Have you learned anything about the history of the building as you've, you know, been inside and going through it and stuff that's interesting that you want to share?
Well, we've learned many stories, and you know, we've heard a lot of stories from people that were actually there, and ticket takers, and people that did, you know, some of the concessions, and all the way down to the kids that used to break in, the younger kids that used to break in after they were in high school, you know, 15, 20 years ago, just to look inside, because it was, you know, it was so open. But it's, you know, back in when the building was built and you go downstairs, it was a basement. I mean, it was a true ugly basement. And you go down there and you're, man, this is just a shame people can't see this. But there have been a lot of stories that people have shared with us, none that I can think of that like really truly stand out, but we're fortunate enough that people will stop us or just pick up the phone and call out of the blue. And they'll just share some personal stories about how him and their wife met there when they both worked, you know, back in the day, and they're still together, and, you know, that kind of stuff. So there's quite a bit of history there. I don't know that we have enough time to dive into all the stories. But yeah, people they're very passionate about the building, which I love to hear. We try to learn as much as we can. And the Falls Historical Society has a bunch. So whether you follow them on Facebook, or once things open back up, you know, they're not far, they're just head straight up Portage Trail. And they've got a really fascinating history of our community and what all has gone into it over so many years. You know, I encourage people to stop by when they open, or just follow them on social media, and they can read a lot more, not only in the theater, but they can read, you know, a bunch about the whole community, which is it's really neat. We actually did meet with them for photos and things of that nature, because when we want to have some pictures on the wall and stuff like that, we want them to be true and you know, the real deal. So, but yeah, we've heard a lot of stories, which is good. And if we encourage people, if you're out there and you're listening and you know somebody or have some stories, you know, shoot us an email, pick up the phone, give us a buzz. You know, we want to hear them all. We truly enjoy hearing them.
Awesome. Yeah. And so in one other question I had is just in the development of the concept, you guys did a lot of research. What were some of the things that were surprising to you as far as like, you know, I don't know, maybe it's like what's new, things you weren't expecting that would be popular, stuff like that.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm amazed at how traditional games, you know, we've got my boys, they have, you know, these PlayStations and the Xbox, and everybody's got the internet and these fancy phones. And it's like, people still go, are you going to have skee ball? Are you going to have pinball? Like these games that have been around for years that you're like, well, yeah, of course we're going to have skee ball. But I'm amazed at how many people truly just love the basics of the game. And it's like, we have, yeah, we're going to have this virtual reality gaming center that is, I mean, you will be immersed in a different world. Like it is truly amazing. And there's people that are just like, are you going to have skee ball? Like that was one of the biggest things out of all the research we've done. People love skee ball. They love like Pong, like Space Invaders, the classic games that, you know, I'm nearing 40 here pretty soon, but have been around longer than I have. You know, it was kind of great. And somebody, you know, are you going to have Pac-Man in there? Like all these retro things that, you know, maybe brings them back to their childhood, which is what we want. We want them to come in, forget about the busy and the hectic life, come in, have a great time, go back to your childhood, you know, play these games that have been around for years. But that was probably one of the biggest things. And I'm like, okay, what's the latest and greatest? And then people are like, you got to have skee ball. I'm not coming if you don't have skee ball. So that kind of was surprised me personally, that the classics still hold up. They really do.
Yeah, I guess we have Chuck E. Cheese to thank for that. I'm just turned 40 myself.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
Awesome. I want to spend just one brief moment on the food, you know, because I also want to suggest that people follow the works on Instagram. I have for a long time, and I'm seeing a lot of these cool restoration photos and stuff. But you guys also post photos of food. So I assume you guys have a functioning kitchen that you're using to test, you know, menu items and stuff at this point, or maybe you're doing it in an external kitchen somewhere. But can you talk a little bit about the food?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've partnered up with a company out of Twinsburg that supplies a lot of the locations on Front Street, US Foods. They're a great food supplier. They offer some really quality products, and that's we kind of got really good about what they had to offer and the different combinations that we could present. So we actually went to Twinsburg. We've been in their test kitchen numerous times. And we've actually designed and tasted these foods to find out, you know, what people like, what their thoughts are, just to make sure that we can offer, you know, something different, a little bit of a variety. So we have, for several months now, we've discovered, you know, what works. We've been in the test kitchen truly like tasting ingredients, in a variety, finding out what works, what people are interested in, what industry normals are there, talking to other family entertainment facilities across the country about what sells, what doesn't work for families, not just, you know, a college bar crowd, because that's not only who we're appealing to. So, you know, our menu's got some really unique stuff on there, from desserts, stuff for the kids, some amazing, we call them signature pies, but pizzas. You know, we even have a gluten-free Italian pizza on there, our bacon and sprout pizza, our barbecue bacon pizza, even all the way down to our appetizers, you know, our pub pretzels, our buffalo cauliflower bites. I'm trying to think of what else. I know fried avocado. My wife is a huge avocado fan. Those are phenomenal on there. So we've got a great menu. We're really excited about all the way down to the desserts. We've got some good stuff in store. And we think people will be excited, because it's not traditionally, it's not something that you can just walk down the street and get. We're offering a little bit of variety, as well as some of the staples, you know, that people still like to go out and have. But it's a unique variety of what we call upscale bar food. That's kind of what we classify it as.
Awesome. Yeah. I saw pictures of some pretty impressive looking burgers and stuff on your Instagram feed.
Yeah, there.
So.
I ate quite a few that day when we were doing pictures of all the food. probably ate a little bit more than I should have, but it's market research, right? We gotta put in the time.
Yeah, you gotta play video games, you gotta eat burgers, you gotta try, yeah. You gotta go to Denver to bowl. I mean, it's a tough life.
I've got a rough life.
So, okay, tell me what you are most excited about, you personally.
So, me personally, I'm excited about the live entertainment aspect of what we're going to be able to do and have in the facility. I come from a production background. I was a DJ for many, many years, and then we shifted into an actual live production company where we did events, staging, trussing, lighting, all that kind of stuff. So the live entertainment aspect for me is something I'm really excited about. And it's not just, oh, we're going to go hear a band play, because we've got some really unique ideas that the industry is trending to, like a dinner performance evening where the performance is, an hour long where that's paired with your dinner, just different things. And I think that the fall, there's just a really wide variety of people down here. They've messaged us and said, hey, I saw this really great band this past weekend. Here's a picture of their business card. And they message us without us even asking. They go, you got to have them when they're there. It's like, we've gotten such a wide variety of different things. We've had bluegrass. We've had a Jimmy Buffett cover band reach out. Dueling pianos, so many that I truly think that throughout our, we don't have a technical name for it, but throughout our performance calendar, our scheduled of events that we have, we're going to be able to offer a really, really wide variety of performances and draw in, pretty much we'll have something for everybody. Even a Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin cover artist that we've been talking to that is truly amazing. But, I picture them downstairs in the speakeasy, doing their thing and people just enjoying having drinks. So the live entertainment aspect is something I truly am excited, but it's my background. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. You're preaching to the choir there, man. I'm a musician. I play in a couple different bands. I think that there is an appetite in Cuyahoga Falls for a music centric, quote unquote scene.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I think that is because there are lots of places in the falls where you can go see live music, but so often it's a cover band. And cover bands are great. Lots of people like cover bands, but there are so many places in the city you can do that I think it would be nice,
right,
to develop, a place where, I mean, sure, you can see a Frank Sinatra cover band, you can see, tribute acts and stuff like that, but also to be able to see, like a real touring act. There was a charity,
yeah,
group very recently, I want to say it was last summer, maybe two summers ago now, that actually brought, Starship to Falls River Square. Is a Mickey Thomas, who's like the last remaining member of Starship, which used to be Jefferson Airplane, and it was Jefferson Starship, and now it's Starship. And that was really cool to see an actual national touring artist instead of like sort of a tribute act,
right?
So to have a venue like the Falls Theater, the Works, available to host acts like that, in addition to the unique sort of acts that come through, whether it's like you say bluegrass, a tribute band, or even like a sketch comedy act or something, I don't know, is I think just a,
yeah,
really, really important addition to downtown right now.
The amphitheater has proven itself, in years past. You go down there and there's performances happening, things of that nature, like it gets utilized. And unfortunately this year, so much was taken away from us that I think even more people are going to be a little bit more appreciative about getting out, seeing what other cultures, what other styles of music, bands, entertainment is out there. Cause now that we've kind of had that interaction or that element of going out and having a good evening has been taken away, I think slowly when things become normal and people are okay with going back out, I think it's even more important to go out and have that time, because, the world just kind of stopped. It was taken away from us. And I think back to years of going down to the amphitheater and all that stuff outside, and whether I grabbed a beer or got, for the Italian fest, got some pasta or whatever it was, the ability to just walk around, hear everything, smell all the smells. Like, I think people are going to be real appreciative that we are keeping the stage or the sound system that's needed to go with it. That's one thing that's really exciting for me. I get really excited just kind of talking about it, knowing what we've got in store and going on down the line. I'm pretty excited about it.
I am right there with you, my friend. cool. So I just would like to know, you guys are already a big part of the Cuyahoga Falls community. I see you guys are supporting like kids' sports teams and passing out, you know, prizes and things at community events, and just really kind of been all over the place in our community, even though you're not, your doors aren't all the way, you know, aren't really open yet. And I know you guys actually sold a lot of the theater seats too. So, I mean, we can tell that it you're getting there.
Yeah.
but as a member of the Cuyahoga Falls community, you know, we like to ask people, particularly when we talk to, you know, local business proprietors, what are some of your favorite sort of sister, brother businesses in Cuyahoga Falls?
Yeah, so I have quite a few, actually. So I guess I'll just kind of run down a few that pop out in my head. And I'm fortunate enough that I'm down at the theater so much that they're kind of all the way down that whole stretch of Front Street. And there's a few more around and about. But, you know, across the street from the theater, our friends at Gene and Lou, you know, I'm a candle guy. I always kind of have candles going, that kind of stuff. They have some amazing scented candles in there. It might be weird for some, but they've got some fall scents and things like that right now that I love going in and getting them. It's a great store. My wife shops in there from time to time. Hope Soap, which is right around the corner from us, they actually have a vitamin E infused coffee, like skin oil, that is amazing. And I don't know if I told you this before, but my background is actually in photo and video. I've been doing that for the last 10 years. And I've done my fair share of, you know, weddings and private events, things of that nature. I've kind of gone into the corporate market the last couple of years, but I actually send all of my clients a handwritten thank you card, and I always send them popcorn from Metropolis Popcorn. It's a great little store. You know, it's one of those things where who doesn't love popcorn, especially when it's one of their awesome flavors that they have over there. But to make sure to send to the clients. They email back and like, man, that was phenomenal. We've never had popcorn like that. But those are just a few names, just a couple, only because I, like my wife who shops at Gene and Lou from time to time and picks stuff up, like I know we're just impressed by the small businesses that we have here. There's so many, it's hard to just name a few because there's such a variety, you know, and we've got a variety that are coming in on the pipeline. You know, the Farmer's Rail, I shop, we get a lot of our meats and stuff like that from their place on I think it's Cleveland Maslin Road that we're so excited about because the community is growing, which is really good to see.
Yeah, and not even just the community, but the business community downtown, and
yes.
You know, we're really developing our own, you know, little personality down there that I think builds in an important way on the sense of community that we already have in this city, which is really just so impressive, particularly when you go to other communities where you kind of miss that. So
and our Chamber of Commerce is amazing, and the Downtown Partnership truly does amazing things. We're fortunate. I mean, we truly are to have a wide variety and be so connected, all the way down to you know, our mayor who is he's the one that originally kind of suggested the Fall Theater for us. I don't remember, it was a long time ago, but, you know, without him, I don't know that I would have ever considered that spot, but just how in tune and how connected we all are and positive. It truly is a great community.
It really is. I couldn't agree more. We want to thank you so much for coming on the FallsCast today. We're all really excited about the business. I'll send you the address where you can send our free passes. Cause that was a joke. Apparently it was a bad one. but we are very, very excited, and we're really happy that you were able to come on and talk to us about it today. So can you tell us when maybe we will get to go inside?
Yeah, so we're actually tentatively on schedule as of right now, which is good. Paint's on the walls, the drywall's up. Electronics are going to be getting installed here pretty soon. We're going to have some more semi trucks coming in the next couple weeks. All of our arcade games are going to be getting delivered. Carpet will be going down the week prior to all the games getting installed. So we're happy to tell everybody that the end is near. The light is at the end of the tunnel. We're anticipating sometime in November officially kind of being open. However, supplies of you know, some COVID stuff here and there, and mills getting shut down and lumber, you know, there are some things here and there and some inspections that obviously, like normal places, have to endure. But that's our targeted time frame. So that's what we're looking at. So hopefully soon.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Tim Frankish from The Works, for joining us on the Fallscast.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your time today.
All right. Take care, bud.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Fallscast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress or @falls_free on Twitter or Instagram. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Alex Hall. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your Cuyahoga Falls friends and family so that they can listen as well.